Our scripture this morning is Psalm 104, first verse through the 13th. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke they flee. At the sound of your thunder, they take to flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The wild asses quench their thirst, and by the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches, and from your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. Blessed be our praise.
Thank you, Janet. I have a second lesson this morning. This one comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 35th verse. Hear now these words. James and John, sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Here ends our gospel lesson. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord God, as we ponder these words from your Holy Scripture this morning, we ask the blessing of your Spirit that we might understand these words and make them living words for us this morning. Amen. A tale is told about a small town that historically had been dry, and no, it was not Westerville. It was dry by tradition, not by law, so when a local businessman decided to build a tavern in town, there was no legal way to stop them. The tavern was built, but that wasn't the end of things. A group of Christians from a local church were so concerned about the new tavern that they planned an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. And it just so happens, shortly thereafter, lightning struck the tavern and it burned to the ground. The owner of the tavern sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. Now the church hired a lawyer, and the lawyer argued in court that they were not responsible. The presiding judge, after initial review of the case, stated that no matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear: the tavern owner believes in prayer and the Christians don't. Do you believe in prayer? It's a question that I actually hear often these days, and no wonder. It might be said that prayer is the vocation of Christians. We are called to pray constantly, and in Jesus we have a model of regular prayer. But the questions often asked today, when they ask, do you believe in prayer, what they really mean is, do you believe that prayer works? The claim of our tavern owner was that it did. The claim of the Christians was, well, what was the claim of the Christians? And what about us? Do we believe that prayer works? Maybe. And maybe we aren't so sure. Maybe we don't know how to answer the question. I used to struggle every time a person asked me this question, does prayer work? Of course it does. Well, yeah, but not all the time. Well, we can never be sure, can we? These are some of my lame responses. This was until I finally realized that it wasn't really the right question. It's an impossible question. It's like answering the question, does a telephone work? Well, of course it does, but it doesn't do anything on its own. What is really behind the question, does prayer work, is the real question. Will God give me what I want? Most of the time when we are wondering if prayer works, what we are really saying is, will God grant me my wish? Whatever that wish may be. God, let me pass this test tomorrow. God, let me make that winning shot that I'm standing here at the free throw line ready to make. God, give me the strength to face my boss today. These are the prayers we are praying when we ask the question, does prayer work? What we really want to know is whether God will give us what we want. And will God do that? Good question. James and John wanted Jesus to do something they wanted. They wanted a promise from Jesus that they would be granted special status in heaven. Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left when you are in your glory. A bold request, perhaps. A request that is often seen as arrogance, and maybe it was. Maybe these two sons of thunder, as they were known, were in the midst of a power struggle with the other disciples. As it says in our passage, they certainly weren't happy when they heard about the request. James and John wanted to be number one, and they asked Jesus to grant that. However, my more charitable side wonders if the request came from their hearts. Maybe they desired to be so connected with Jesus that even in heaven, they could be close to him. We should all have such a longing. But no matter what the motivation, Jesus knew that this was more of a request than they realized. For he answered them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Jesus knew where his life was headed. It was to death on the cross, and James and John had no idea of this. They had no idea of what it meant to share in Jesus' journey, but Jesus knew. He knew that James and John were not capable of living with their request, for they didn't really understand it. Does prayer work? Will God do what I want? Did James and John really want what they were asking for? I wonder if that's the case with most of our prayers. In the movie Bruce Almighty, Bruce, played by Jim Carrey, is given godlike powers by a God, played by Morgan Freeman. Among those powers was the power to answer prayers, a power that he manages to mess up, just like he messes up his other God-given powers. Freeman then talks to Carrey about prayer and tells him that most people don't know what they really want. And maybe that's true for all of us. Like James and John, we think we know what we want, but we really don't know. And if we really understood what we want, we may not really want it. These questions do not mean that God is incapable of acting or that God never acts, for God does act, and prayer is our connection with the God who does act. As we pray for help, for healing, for good things, God invites us to do just that. The great Christian writer C.S. Lewis viewed God's blessings as constantly flowing down to us. For Lewis, prayer was the irrigation system that channeled these blessings to us. If we fail to pray, we fail to tap into God's blessings. Prayer does make a difference. Research at San Francisco General Hospital revealed that the victims of heart attack, heart failure, and other cardiac problems who were remembered in prayers fared better than those who were not. Other such accounts are out there. It's hard to deny that there is some power in prayer, even if we can't quantify it. And in fact, that may be part of the problem. Author Elsie Gibson wrote, "There is no way to pin down the results of prayer for other persons and good causes. Its influence does not lie open to precise analysis." She goes on to point out that it is not our prayer effectiveness that brings about change. It is God's actions. Prayer is not about, look at what I did, but it is about thanksgiving for what God does. The other day I saw a sign in a store, a wall plaque, that said, "Prayer changes things." Here is the truth behind that question, does prayer work? I don't know if we can say that a particular prayer will work, but I do know that prayer changes things. When we engage in prayer, we are connecting with the very source of the power in the universe. We should expect something to happen. I remember a teacher once telling me that whenever she felt herself getting frustrated and angry by a student behaving poorly in class, she would say a quick prayer for that student, and in so doing, her attitude towards that student changed. No longer was he a problem to be solved, but a person. And she realized she needed to treat that student as a person. Christian author Madeline Lengel would understand. Ms. Lengel tells of a young woman in her church who contracted incurable bone cancer. The women of her church knew that this form of cancer was very painful, so Lengel and the other women prayed for her, not so much to be healed, but to have the pain removed. She writes, "The gift of intercessory prayer is not mine, although that does not let me off the hook from praying for others. I know that when I prayed for Bethy, I hurt. I don't think it was a physical pain, but it was pain. During her dying, I would wake up at night and pray for her, and this praying hurt." Lengel engaged in prayer for someone else, and she herself was affected. And she hoped that in her prayers, the pain of that woman might be reduced. And maybe the fact that she herself was affected is a sign that prayer works. Does prayer work? It surely does. It changes things. It changes us. Madeline L'Engle learned that when we pray for others, we engage ourselves in the process of God's work. And like James and John, it might involve more than we realize. And maybe this is how prayer works. A Confederate soldier penned this prayer during the Civil War, more than 150 years ago. He wrote, "I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask God for health that I might do greater things, and I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men, and I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life, and I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I, among all men, most richly blessed." Prayer is our faith vocation, and in our prayers, I hope that we all will find that we too are most richly blessed. Amen.